At FBC, we talk a lot about the Bible. You might have figured out that that seems pretty important to our church body. Have you ever wondered, though, why it's so important? Many of you have heard that you should read your Bibles, not just at church, but at home, too. But you know, if you were honest with yourself, you might have thought this before. I know it's crossed my mind. Well, I've gone lots of days without reading my Bible, and nothing dramatic or evil has happened to me. I seem to be okay. Why do we sometimes think this way? When it comes down to how we spend our time, why do we often choose other pursuits over studying Scripture? I think there could be several reasons, and we'll discuss several of them later on. But some might say, well, it's because I'm busy. But I don't think it's because we don't have enough time. Because most everyone makes time for the things that they want to do, right? I was looking up some statistics here. The average Netflix subscriber watches Netflix for an hour and 23 minutes a day. The average smartphone consumer uses their smartphone an average of, get this, 5 hours a day. And if you're a sports fan, I think that you are often able to make room for to see that big game, right? I know I do. So even though we're busy, time isn't necessarily the issue. I believe the issue is a need. We don't think that we need the Bible. We think that we're good enough and wise enough to make it through okay by ourselves. So let's go after that thought today. I think that God gives us evidence that we have to have Scripture in our lives, my relationship with the Bible. So whether you're a child or a teenager or an adult, God wants you to understand what your relationship with the Bible should be. God wants you to know that studying the Bible and knowing Scripture has to be a vital part of the daily life of a follower of Jesus. And as I've studied this these past couple weeks, God doesn't motivate us to dig into His Word out of guilt, like we have to do it. Rather, it motivates you because the Bible is just so good. It's worth it. And so let me show you a few reasons why. One of the reasons is the Bible offers you the gospel. It tells you the good news. Many of you might already know that. In fact, but it's the very best news, though. It's life-altering, eternity-changing news. The Bible answers giant questions about all the, you know, the big things that people think about. It tells you the meaning of life. The Bible gives you the reason that you're on this earth. The Bible declares that each one of us matter because we are created in the image of God. It describes what's wrong with this world. Then the Bible gives a solution to it. Scripture tells us of God's mammoth rescue to pull us from a deep, hell-bound trouble. It tells you of a Savior. Just look at this verse on the screen, Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified or made just by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Sinners made just, lawbreakers declared innocent. This is no small thing. And Jesus' redeeming love, that's His love to those that follow after Him. This is the foundation. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the only way. In John 14:6, you know that verse, many of you know that I am the way, Jesus says, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that following after Jesus, that Jesus is the only way, meaning to repent, to turn from your sins, and then believe in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Without reading this message of good news or hearing it from someone else, you have no way of knowing God's truth for your life, God's gift to you. Because God is the source of all truth. And if the source of truth is God, then where must we go to find the truth about everything? Well, it's the Bible, the place where His truth has been communicated. Realize that this is the truth, and it's for you. Many of you know that I was born and raised in Georgia. And as I've told many of you before, I became attached to certain sports teams in Georgia. And it's almost, even living in Wisconsin, it's almost un-American to leave your childhood team. You just got to be loyal. You can't help it. Sometimes I want to change teams and I can't. And I remember when my team made it to their first Super Bowl when I just turned 13. I was ecstatic. This was right before the internet truly became the information center right there. A few clicks will get you all that you need. So the main source of information for me was newspapers. And that season, most Mondays after a big Atlanta win, my dad and I would drive to the gas station. We would get an Atlanta newspaper. And I saved those newspapers for years because they had really good news about my favorite team. And since good seasons didn't happen very often, I really had to treasure those newspapers. And I went back over and over again to reread those articles because it reminded me of a great year. But you know, those old newspapers only told me about what happened back then. And this is what's different about the gospel news of the Bible. The gospel news not only looks back for the believer, where it tells us that Jesus paid our sin debt, but then it tells you what the gospel is doing right now in the follower, the Jesus follower's life. He's growing and maturing, that believer. And then further, the gospel tells you what is going to happen for the believer in the future when we see Jesus face to face and when he reigns as king. So the gospel, past, present, and then future, it's all good. So if you're a follower of Jesus, and you hear these words and you read those gospel news words, realize, man, you have to praise God for his truth. He has given you life, and he will continue to give you life. This is good. It's refreshing. It's marvelous to believe and know the way to God. So read the good news over and over again and remind yourself that you're an undeserving recipient of God's grace. The Bible offers you the gospel. So what do we do with this gospel news? Psalm 119 has the answer. It says on the screen in verses 29 through 31, it says, "Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way to faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord." So we go after God. We follow after him. And do we not need the truth and the good news right now? What's the phrase from the past 12, 18 months or so? Fake news, right? Fake news. Our culture is struggling right now to attempt to figure out what is right and what is wrong. And oftentimes, even after all that debating and all the conversations back and forth, they can't figure out the issues. And it often feels that whoever protests the loudest or is the most outraged, well, they're the right ones. But God's truth, it's unmovable. It's unchanging. It's good and right, even when the majority differs from God's truth on relationships or marriage or speech, how we treat our enemies, and so on. So the Bible offers us the truth. It offers us the good news, the gospel. But also the Bible, as you think about your relationship with it, it fuels your spiritual life. Right before Moses died, thinking way back in the Old Testament, he gives God's people some final advice. He talks about the law, all those laws of Moses that he issued to the people. And he gave it to them, and he talks about what that law means. He shows them why it's so critical to know God's word. So I'm going to put that verse on the screen from Deuteronomy chapter 32, and it says, "And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, 'Take to heart all the words by which I'm warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess.'" These aren't empty words. It's your life. The law was designed by God to show them how to love God and how to love others. These words of God, they matter. They are the key to your growth to becoming more like Jesus. So now let me show you a passage from the New Testament that shows what happens when this continual study and application occurs in the believer's life. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the chairs around you, maybe in front of you or underneath your seat. And 2 Timothy is in the latter half of the New Testament. And so we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And this is what 2 Timothy 3 says, looking at verse 16. As we're talking about the Bible fueling your spiritual life, it says this: all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I love this passage. I love these verses. It tells me that everything I need for my walk with God is right there in His Word. And you see that phrase in verse number 17, that the man of God may be complete? Your ESV might also have the word competent, or another translation might say that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped. All those are excellent translations from the original Greek language, because it gives you the idea that God has given me everything I need to be complete in Him. Now, will I often need help? Yes. Will I need more understanding? All the time. So what do? I surround myself with people that know the Word. And this verse says that Scripture will help correct and train. So let me give you a brief example. In my stage of life right now, I need help parenting. The verdict was in a long time ago. George is not a good dad on his own. He needs Melissa. No, and God. And so I'm not a good dad. And so on my own. So what do I need to do? Well, I know 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I know that God gives me everything that I need. So I search Scripture, and I look and find what I need to, what it says about fathers and what it says about training your children. Because you know what? Sometimes I hear parents say this: you just got to find whatever works for your kid, and then you do that. But I don't want whatever for my kids. I want Jesus for them. And so I look for help from the Bible. I ask parenting questions to godly men and godly women to gain understanding. Our church has gone through recently a Paul Tripp Bible-based DVD series on life, and there are many others where I need help. And so I can go off the truth of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and say, God will give me everything I need to serve Him and follow Him well. Because we need help in a lot of areas, not just parenting, but you have His Word. You can live a competent Christian life when you're powering your life on the Word of God. So what should you do? You should feed on the Word. Fuel your spiritual body with Scripture. In youth group and in Sunday school, the teens and I often liken studying God's Word to physical food. Because if I understand teens correctly, they enjoy some good food. And so there's some illustrations there. Maybe some of you you skipped breakfast this morning. Some of you can do that. It's impressive. but lunch is coming, and you're starting to get hungry, right? And you start thinking about it. And you can't wait to dive into that meal because you've been lacking food for a while now. And so we can all skip meals maybe every once in a while, but sooner rather than later, that's to our own detriment, right? Because there are consequences to missing food for an extended period of time. Our bodies become weak. It harms us physically, right? We can't function like we should. Maybe some of you get cranky. Your energy levels run low. Man, working and living without food, it becomes difficult. So we need nourishment. It's exactly the same for you following after Jesus. You need nourishment too. So keep feeding on the Scripture. Don't go hungry from the Word of God. Don't starve yourself spiritually by being far from the truth of Scripture. The Bible fuels your spiritual life. And the Bible also gives you God's will for your life too. It gives you God's will for your life. Because loving, righteous, amazing Jesus wants to transform you. This is what Romans 12:2 says. It says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What does it mean to test and discern? Do you see those words there on that verse? That means you're carefully analyzing. You're checking it out. You're weighing the options. If we are wise, we don't try to be careless about how we make decisions, right? We don't want to be rash. We want to do the right thing. So that's what it means to test and discern. And we do this careful decision-making all the time. Suppose you're buying a birthday gift for your girlfriend or your boyfriend. If you want to keep dating that person, you're going to spend some time planning out what you should do, right? You would check your supply of cash. You would see how much money you have to work with. You'd think about it. You'd weigh the options. You might get creative on what kind of gift you would give. You discern what they would like to do. You weigh it out. We do it for the small things too. How should I spend my evening? Well, I could do a project in the garage maybe. Or if you're a student, as a teenager, you say, well, I maybe better get that homework done. Then again, you say, well, wait a second. I haven't watched YouTube since dinner. That was 45 minutes ago. Maybe I should watch some more YouTube. I hear they're posting some more videos recently. And you might wonder, what should I do there? Homework or YouTube? And it might take you a few seconds to figure it out, but you test and discern and decide what you want to do or what you need to do. You face small decisions all the time, but we also face large ones. Teens, how do I treat my parents, even when I think they're wrong? Adults, how should I respond to those hateful words from my coworker that were told behind my back? Or, man, should I stay married to my husband? The relationship's not going so well. So how do you do the right thing? How do you know how to make those kinds of decisions? Let me call you to Scripture. God gives His will for your life. Look in Colossians chapter 2. You can see this verse on the screen as well. In verses 6 and 7, it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So how do you know how to do the right thing? What do you think the key phrase is in that verse as you look at it? Well, you walk with Jesus, rooted in Him. This is an active thing. You're walking with Him. You must be walking with Jesus because there are other things, there are other ideals, there are other views from the enemy that desire to pull you away and desire to help you make a decision that's anti-God. Simply look at the next verse in Colossians 2. It's verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, and not according to Christ. With so many things that are pushing and clawing at your life, you've got to gear up. You've got to put on the truth. And so where do you find the truth of God's will? Psalm 119 says this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. According to these verses, what's to lead and guide our thinking? What's God's word? And it seems from all these verses that we've looked at today, is the Bible leading and guiding just in specific areas? Well, no, it's for all the areas of life. So what should we understand from this thinking? That the Bible is for my whole life and every decision that I make. And if this is true, if the Bible is for my whole life and for every decision that I make, how should you live with that knowledge? The Bible provides truth for how we live each day. This is how we walk with Jesus. There is no mystery of becoming close with God. The Bible is like a pair of glasses that you put on that you can see and understand everything in life, for the small questions and the big questions. The Bible is the truth for us to see how we're supposed to live and how we're the friends that we're supposed to make, how we do our schoolwork. The Bible is our truth for how I'm supposed to treat my wife. The Bible is God's will for you on how you're supposed to respond to your parents and everything else. For the follower of Jesus, this is what we need to see all of life through the truth of Scripture, and Jesus will transform you. This is a worldview changed and transformed by Scripture. So we should delight in His law because it is good. Psalm 1 verse 2 says this, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. So delight in God's instruction, it's His law, because it's not restricting. Rather, it's your guide through troubling times. So do you see how vital the Bible is to the follower of Jesus? It offers you the grandest news of all time, the story of Jesus' love, how He lived His life and how He died and how He rose again. The Bible fuels your spiritual life, where you can repeatedly feed on the hope and the truth of Creator God. And then the Bible gives you God's will for your life, where you can find answers on how to live for God's glory. From your way to God, to the smallest decisions that you make every day, the Bible is there. In our remaining time, I'd like to address a couple questions you might have as you think about your relationship with the Bible. The first one is for parents. Parents, should you make your kids read their Bibles? Wait, that's too tough of a question. So we're going to skip that one. Go on. No, just kidding. I'm going to answer that. So parents, should you make your kids read their Bibles? Okay, I'm not saying this is God's law in your house, but let me give you some suggestions here. We're in a home right now with two boys who can't read, so I get out of this. But no, seriously, we read the Bible to our boys nearly every day. One day, they'll be able to read the Bible for themselves. And I know that I'm responsible to train my children and to teach them diligently the words of the Lord. My prayer for my children is that one day they become two young men that would desire to seek God with their whole hearts. Man, parents, isn't that your prayer too? They would do that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to train them. I want them to see God all the time. I won't be able to turn their hearts toward God, but I can give them opportunities over and over again to see how marvelous God is. I would encourage you to make time for your children, make a time for your children to read the Bible. There are several Bible reading plans for kids that are simple and help build their knowledge of the truth. But you know what? There's another question. What if the Bible is boring? Have you ever heard this before? I just can't get into it. The Bible doesn't interest me all that much. So let me answer this in two ways. One is this. One, that boring doesn't necessarily equal bad. We live in a culture that feeds our flesh, and it tells us that if it's not exciting, it's not worth doing. That's a lie. There are lots of boring things that you do every day that are completely necessary to your existence. You brush your teeth. You eat your vegetables. You should. You mow the grass. There'll be days when reading your Bible isn't a mountaintop experience, and that's okay. But secondly, ask God to change your heart. Reorient your perspective and remember what is true, that this is God's word to me, to His people. It's good for me to read it and study it and know it, even when it's difficult sometimes to read. But what if I don't understand the Bible? Sometimes I just don't get what it says. Am I allowed to say this? Me too. That happens to me. Sometimes it's difficult. I don't understand. There are difficult parts of Scripture, but there are also wonderfully clear, rich, amazing passages that just leap off of every page. So don't dismay when you're faced with difficult words. Keep looking to understand and keep pursuing truth. Pray for that understanding. What isn't the answer is giving up. For instance, teenagers, I have seen many of you passionately pursue things that you're interested in. Many of you creatively solve problems and you work on hobbies over and over again to make them work right. Many of you have a drive to excel. My prayer for you is that you would have the same drive towards fueling your spiritual life in the Word. Keep going. Try to understand. Pray for understanding. It's my hope that you see that the Bible must be close to the follower of Jesus. As you take inventory of your life, maybe you realize that you need more of God's word in your life. Maybe that New Year's resolution that you made to read your Bible in January, or halfway through the year, maybe that's worn off. If that's true, let me encourage you to put feet to the truth. Pick a Bible reading plan. Begin to follow through. Can I suggest one more thing as well? Often I view my relationship with the Bible relatively casually. I see the Bible as a when I get around to it type of thing. Look to elevate that thinking. Make feeding your spiritual life and developing your knowledge of God a thoughtful thing. But understand that far too often I've opened my Bible to check an assignment off my list rather than letting the life-fueling words of God sink in. I look to complete a task rather than see the beauty of the good news of Jesus. Delight in his word rather than making it a duty. I'm not here today to yell at you if you aren't reading your Bible every day. It's not that you're forced to do it, but rather you can't live well for Jesus without it. I'm telling you that the Bible is so worth part of your day that it's critical to your relationship and following Jesus. The message today isn't here to make you feel guilty, but I hope it's there to make you feel hungry. Studying for this sermon this week increased my hunger for the scriptures. I need more meals from scripture because that's where my God is. That's God's word for us today. If you have more questions about what it means to develop your relationship with the Bible, I would love to talk with you and pray with you. FBC is delighted to walk alongside you as you learn to follow Jesus and know his word more.